Bickley and Murata from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. It's not really Christmas time until they start playing Christmas music on the radio. It's not really mock draft season until Mel Kiper Jr. releases his first mock draft. That happened today, so it's officially the season. And Mel Kiper Jr. joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Mel, how are you today?
Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you back on the show. Let's dive right in because we're in Arizona, home of the number one overall pick, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of argument right now early in the process that Nick Bosa makes the most sense, and I know that's who you had with for the Cardinals at number one. Tell us more, maybe for people that don't know or didn't get the chance to see Nick Bosa this past year in limited experience, what we could expect if that does become a reality.
Well, I think very similar to his brother Joey. I think that's the best thing. If you see Joey with the Chargers, Nick's not that much different a player. The way they come off the edge, the way they bend like Myles Garrett, tremendously strong hands. I mean, he disengages quickly. He just has a natural knack. His father was a first-round draft choice of the Miami Dolphins, John Bosa, Nick and Joey's dad. So they're the uncle, you know, Eric Kumerow was a first-round pick of the Dolphins. So they got like football. They've been around it their whole life, great bloodlines, but certainly natural pass rushers, they both are. And certainly the durability concern is there. You know, he was injured his final year in high school with the knee, then obviously with the Buckeyes. But when he's at full strength, there's a reason why he's the number one player in this draft.
Mel, there are a lot of people who believe the Cardinals already have their franchise quarterback in Josh Rosen and believe it would be best if the team drafts out of the number one pick, moves down. Is this, in your opinion, looking like a good year or a bad year in terms of drumming up leverage from other teams to have that number one pick?
And that's what we've been talking about a lot today, about, you know, Dwayne Haskins and Ohio State quarterback. How far will teams, you know, will they look to give up to move ahead of the Giants? None of the first five need quarterbacks. And that's where, again, you think about a team that wants one, whether it's Miami at 13, Washington at 15. Some people, Adam Schefter brought Denver at 10. So to move up ahead of the Giants, or if the Giants want Haskins, they're going to have to move up. So we saw, remember, when the Bears moved up one spot to get Mitchell Trubisky because they knew somebody else would jump into two if they didn't. So it may be a similar case with the Giants. So, yeah, that pick will have value, no question about it, because Dwayne Haskins, by the time we get to late April, is going to be the clear-cut number one quarterback, which he is now. He's going to keep ascending, which all these quarterbacks do in the draft through the draft process. And it'll be interesting to see what Kyler Murray, what he means to this whole equation once he decides whether he's all in for football or he's going to become an Oakland A.
Well, along those lines, Mel, I mean, the Cardinals should be thankful then for Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray declaring for this year's draft. Otherwise, they would, and for that quarterback reason alone, they'd have a lot of trouble drumming up interest in that pick, don't you think?
Oh, there'd be no interest. Like say, Justin Herbert going back to Oregon, and if Haskins and Kyler Murray wasn't, and really more Haskins than Murray, because, you know, Kyler's only going to be about 5'9 and a half. Some say 5'10, some say 5'9. We'll see at the combine what he really is. Bottom line is he doesn't have the broad shoulders and the 210, 220 pound frame, say a Russell Wilson or a Baker Mayfield. So he's a kind of different body type entirely. But he's a phenomenal player. And if he were, I said this back in September, if he were 3 inches taller, he'd be a number one pick in this draft by a mile, but he's not. And that's the issue. We've never had a quarterback this body type go in the first round, let alone in the top 10 to 15 overall, or be talked about as maybe the number one pick. So it'll be interesting to see how that factors in, that player factors in. But for right now, Dwayne Haskins is the reason why that number one pick may in fact have some value.
All right, Cards play-by-play guy Dave Pasch says he's seen Russell Wilson, he has seen Kyler Murray, and Kyler's noticeably shorter. And I agree with you, if he's in the 5'8 or less than 5'9 range, there's going to be way too much risk for teams to assume. Say he comes in closer to 5'10, is there anything Kyler Murray could do to wow at the combine that would make him pass Dwayne Haskins, in your opinion?
Another good question. It's too early to tell on that because that's a big time look ahead. First of all, we got to get to mid February to see is he going to be all in for football. He can't be part time. I think he realizes that. Everybody realizes that. He's not a defensive back like Brian Jordan or Deion Sanders or a running back like Bo Jackson. He is a quarterback, and you can't just be a part time quarterback. So we'll know that pretty quickly. And then once that's known that he's all in for football, then the height. It's more the body type. We talked about that. You're not going to do any. He's not going to be Russell Wilson in terms of being able to hold up physically with that sturdy frame. You can be short but compact. They always say short but not small. Okay, so a lot of backs are like that. Running backs have been that way. So for a quarterback, short, but Russell Wilson was 5'10 and a half, 5'10 and three quarters tops, but he was 2'10 coming out. You know, you think about Baker Mayfield, 6 foot and change, but 220. You know, here's a kid, 190, 195, maybe 5'10, maybe not. We'll see. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a wide range of opinions. Some are going to think he can't get it done at that height. Some are going to think second round, third round. Some are going to say, hey, he's worthy. Cliff Kingsbury went on record as saying in October, hey, I'd take him number one.
Yeah.
He's a tremendous talent. He's got everything you want. I mean, the kid will throw from the pocket accurately. He completed his same percentage as Baker Mayfield did, right around 70%. He accounted for more touchdowns this year than Baker Mayfield did last year in that same offense. He's spectacular. There's no question. Like I said, the only thing that bothers you is the body type, the lack of height and the lack of great size to hold up in the NFL. But if he can, and these quarterbacks, they can maneuver around if they're smart. He's a baseball player. He, unlike RG3, he knows how to slide. Okay,
yeah.
So you can protect yourself and keep yourself because of the rules and the way the game is now and his speed. Good luck, like Lamar Jackson. Good luck trying to catch these guys. Josh Allen at Kentucky, with the Buffalo Bills out of Wyoming, number one pick, had a heck of a rookie year. Did it throwing? Did it running? But they couldn't get him. Hey, he was strong. He would slide down. And I think for Kyler Murray, it's the same thing. Protect yourself. He's going to have to really be cognizant of that once he's in the league, or he's not going to stay in the league long. But if he can stay healthy, he's a tremendously talented quarterback.
Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN. He released his first mock draft on ESPN.com today. He's our guest here on Bickley and Murata. Going back to Bosa, Mel, he made the decision this year when he got hit with an injury. It wasn't about rehabbing to get back to Ohio State. He immediately changed his process to getting ready for the NFL draft. We've seen players, high prospects, make the decision to skip out on bowl games. In all of your dealings, have you ever heard from a team where they consider that to be a turnoff in any way?
No, I think they adjusted to why a player is doing it, talk to the player. For instance, a Will Grier at West Virginia didn't play in their bowl game because both tackles, the offensive tackles, right tackle, left tackle, were out for that game.
Mm-hmm.
So the coach was leaving right thereafter. So you go, coaches leave, quarterbacks, and decide not to play, running backs, whatever it may be. I don't think Christian McCaffrey opted not to play. Did it impact him and how he's played? Nobody,
yeah.
I don't think anybody cares once you're in the league what happened that game. People say, well, you're leaving your team. They understand that they were in that situation. They would do the same thing. Teammates understand that. And in terms of Bosa, Bosa had a core muscle surgery. He had a major surgery.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to come back after being out that long to play in a game or two at the end of the year and risk, his career. So, no, I don't think anybody would question what Nick Bosa did.
All right, when you take a look now in terms of sleepers, guys that might be shining at the combine, throw some names at us, Mel, of guys that maybe our listeners haven't been well familiarized with that might become big name players going into the draft.
Well, I think O'Shane Zimenez, I've talked a lot about him today, Old Dominion defensive end, outside linebacker. Kid had a phenomenal year. People don't realize how good he was as a pass rusher. This is a kid that has a great attitude, great character. Watch out for him. He's going to be special. Keelan Doss is a kid I've talked about a lot during the year at Cal Davis, a wide receiver, 6'3", 210, had over 300 receptions during his career, played for Dan Hawkins this past year. He's certainly a kid that I think will make the transition, will play in the NFL. Chandler Brewer, guard out of Middle Tennessee State, certainly has an opportunity to play in this league and get the job done. And I think when you look at guys in the secondary, you're always going to find players, they're a little under the radar there. Rocky Sins, a kid out of Temple, who transferred in, had a real good year in coverage. I think he could be a third-round pick. And a kid going to the Senior Bowl who had a great career at a low-level competition at a Washburn is Corey Ballantyne. We saw James Bradbury come out as a second-round pick, smaller school. Corey Ballantyne from Washburn with a good Senior Bowl and a good combine could be in that second or third round discussion.
Mel, before we let you go, I wanted to get into the wide receivers a little bit. You've got three, I believe, in the first round of your first mock draft. One of them is not named N'Keal Harry of Arizona State. I know it's early in the process, but where do you see him going, and what would he need to do at the combine, really, to improve his stock in your eyes?
We'll be there, and we're going to be watching these guys run those 40s because it's going to be important. That's what's a speed game, getting separation. I think the 40 time will determine a lot for N'Keal Harry. I talked to Herm Edwards a lot about him, and he obviously a ton of talent, made a lot of plays for Arizona State. Herm came on the radio with us with Darian Mel on Saturday back in October and talked about N'Keal Harry and what he meant to that football team. So, yeah, he's got a chance. He's a borderline first-round pick. Right now I have him more as a second-rounder, as I do with a lot of these receivers who are pretty good. Hakeem Butler at Iowa State, he could ascend based on his athletic prowess at the combine. A kid like Kelvin Harmon at NC State caught a lot of balls for Ryan Finley. He could ascend. Anthony Johnson, Buffalo. There's a lot of receivers who are right now in that second, third round mix that could move up into the first round discussion with a great combine, great pro day.
Mel, thank you so much for joining us. No, you're really, really busy today of all days, so we appreciate the time today.
Enjoyed it, guys. You take care.
Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's ColterTempe.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com.
I think he's locked up the biggest shoe deal. I think he's definitely going to be the number one pick. I mean, I think he's done enough for basketball, college basketball, that it's more about him personally now. And I think for him as a young player that I would shut it down.
Now, let me ask you.
You would stop playing.
Let me ask you this, though, Scotty.
I would stop playing because I feel that he could risk a major injury that could really hurt his career.
Football players are doing it.
Yeah.
Why not? The college football players are skipping the bowl games, and they're getting ready for the combine. If I was him, I know I'm
at least top three
NBA pick. I'm out of here.
All right, here we go down this road. That's Scottie Pippen, Tracy McGrady on the jump on ESPN, talking about Zion Williamson of Duke and suggesting that he should do what college, and you heard Tracy McGrady say it, college football players do it. Why shouldn't Zion Williamson do it? You're risking injury by playing at this point. I know there's a lot of similarities, Bick, but why do I feel so differently about a college basketball player making this decision? Potentially, he hasn't done it, but it's being talked about as a possibility. Why do I feel so much different about the basketball aspect and the football aspect?
Oh, that's a good question.
I've come to terms with the football and the bowl games are, you know,
because you don't equate season-ending injuries in basketball the way you do in football. You don't look at the risk the same way.
That's part of it, too. But I was having a discussion with a buddy of mine around bowl season, and he's like, yeah, bowls. He's not a fan of the bowl games. And he said, it doesn't make sense. It does make sense for these guys to protect themselves in interest of their future earnings for what is a cosmetic exhibition game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then he said, the point he made next was, you don't see college basketball players doing this. As long as they've got the carrot of the NCAA tournament and a national championship, they're going to play.
Yeah.
We've never seen anybody make this decision. This is the first time it's been suggested. And that, to me, this would be a huge blow to college basketball.
Oh,
this could kill college basketball if this became the normal.
I think that what we're talking about here is there's a lot going on with the revenue sports in college athletics that kind of speak to serious fundamental changes. What we see in football with bowl games becoming irrelevant, that's not going to get any better anytime soon. And Vinny, I think you were the one that predicted that it won't be that far off till some guy, some hotshot player on a team that is not trending well, maybe 1 in 5 entering, you know, November, where you just go, I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm not playing anymore. That is the next step in football.
Isn't that what what's his name from South Carolina did?
Ed Oliver?
No, a couple years ago.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh,
yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney played, but he didn't play hard.
No, he tiptoed through that whole season.
He tiptoed, and Steve Spurrier knew it, and everybody knew it. And so I think the next step is not trying to be duplicitous about it. Guy's just going to go, out of here. I don't care. I don't owe you anything. Happens in basketball. Now we're talking about something completely different.
So, I mean, we can examine it. Again, to clarify, Zion Williamson has not come to this conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been in the public eye for 2-3 years already before he stepped foot at Duke, okay?
Yeah.
Could have gone anywhere to bide his time for a year. Under these current rules that you need to be a year in college and the age limitations with the NBA draft, this creates this possibility, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Which is another reason why they should allow players to jump straight from high school. But under these rules, Zion Williamson could have gone anywhere, but he chose Duke to get the most notoriety, the most publicity, and, oh, by the way, really good chance to win a national championship at Duke.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to play, couldn't you have just gone anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
He could have just sat on his couch for a year and still been a top pick.
I think what he's done now is I think he's pretty much established that he is going to be the number one pick. And I think that's Scottie Pippen's point. You've already proven your point. There's nothing more you need to prove. And if that's the case, why do you risk anything? Again, though,
why get out of bed in the morning?
Well, and that's why this argument, I think, philosophically is important, because the risk of
Vince was just asking that in general, unrelated.
Good point.
I'm going to call in. I'm risking my future earnings by getting out of bed because I might get hit by a bus.
That's right.
I might fall down some stairs.
That's
right. That thinking is ridiculous.
How many guys have suffered season-ending, career-threatening injuries playing college basketball? Probably not many. So that's why this is so jarring to the system. Because Scottie Pippen is saying, do this. Why would you risk everything? Well, what is really the risk when you're playing college basketball? If any player goes down that path, that's going to be highly problematic.
Well, when they change the rules then, and you can jump from high school back into the NBA as it should be, then it's going to trickle down to this blue chip recruit. Zion Williamson, he's the number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't even play in high school anymore. He should shut it down. The level of preservation we're seeing in sports today is just unbelievable. I think it would set a really bad precedent, but it might. They're talking about a few years now changing that eligibility rule.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if somebody of Zion Williamson's profile, and he is the biggest star in college basketball right now, there's no doubt about that.
All right.
Maybe if he made that decision, it might spur some quicker change than what we're going to see in the NBA.
No, I know.
Because the one and done rule is stupid.
Well, and I think what we're getting in the NBA and college basketball, I think you're going to see this whole developmental league. You're going to see college basketball and maybe even college football, but I definitely think college basketball is going to be even further diminished in the future, where the upper echelon of players aren't even going to bother.
You might be right. It's almost a necessary evil for most of these guys.
No, it's true.
On the way to the NBA.
It's true.
So that's out there. Also, wanted to give you an update on a national phenomenon that's happening in basketball. This is happening in the NBA. It's a Luka love fest, is what it is. People can't get enough of them. Some Luka Doncic.
Luka love fest.
Yeah.
I like that.
Luka Palooza.
Spurs played the Mavericks. And Greg Popovich is not effusive in his praise, really, of anybody.
No.
But he was asked about Luka Doncic pregame.
He has a pace about him that he's never frantic. He's calm in everything that he does. He understands spatial relationships and understands where everybody is on the court, what's needed at the time. And he's got courage. He'll take big shots. He'll do what needs to be done to try to win a basketball game. And he obviously attracts the respect of his teammates. That's pretty tough for Rick to do as quickly as he did. So all that makes him one hell of a basketball player in person.
I don't know who gathered that pregame sound. They should be fired.
Man,
everybody's got like a hi-fi recorder on their phone. It sounds like he's in a plane.
How often do we encounter that for whatever reason?
NBA, basketball sound has been terrible.
Do I dare hit the post-game comments?
Yeah, that's at a podium, I think.
Okay, so then Greg Popovich actually sees Luka Doncic play. Was asked about him again.
They did as well as they can. The young man is phenomenal. Does a great job. Such great pace, demeanor, skill. He's got the whole package. So, he got away from us here and there. But just in general, it was team competitiveness that got it done for us.
In defense of what we do in Phoenix, Arizona, this is a project I want to put to the other side of the glass for the rest of the basketball season.
All right.
I want you to compile glowing endorsements and compliments that people from outside of Phoenix in the NBA have for DeAndre Ayton. It shouldn't take you that long. Now, if I was to say this, let's compile everything said about Luka, you'd probably beg for more hours in the day, because that's how far the NBA press is going to anoint this guy.
Okay, I don't think the NBA press was imitating Greg Popovich. That was Greg Popovich, who throws around compliments like manhole covers.
Mm-hmm.
being effusive in his praise of Luka Doncic. So
they asked him both before and after the game.
Okay. And if Greg Popovich thought the fawning over Luka was absurd or out of line or out of proportion, he would have gone, ask me something else. He dignified that. Luka Doncic, here's another stat that I think is interesting about him. And, you know, you can use the word courage to take big shots. It's kind of a gross misuse of that word. But Luka Doncic has one of the best clutch shooting lines in any single season at this point of any player dating back to like 1995. I just saw the list the other day, and it's an impressive. Steve Nash is on the list. So Luka Doncic is not only doing what he does very well, he's making big shots when they matter, and that's kind of abnormal for rookies if you're not LeBron James. I do agree with you. It is a little bit out of control. I don't know how much of it is, because for the media to be propping up Luka Doncic, there's got to be an end game. What is the end game? Is he making the NBA money? Is he making ESPN money? Is he increasing ratings? Is it that?
I think that's the ultimate goal.
Is it the Dallas market phenomenon that we see in football that drives me nuts?
I mean, it's a big market, but it's not LA, New York, Chicago big.
Mm-hmm. I know. I know that the hot take industry, it is all predicated on what markets are engaged with us, what markets are tuning into us. And, you know, when I see Stephen A. Smith wearing cowboy hats and taunting cowboy fans, the minute the Cowboys win a big game, it's almost as if they're a dynasty again. And I wonder if it's that, if it's the global audience, if it's, I don't know whether it's the intrigue of a European player finally coming over and meeting, if not exceeding, expectations, when it's always been the opposite.
He has an on-court charisma, too.
He does. He's got all of these things. But for all of, you know, the criticism that's lobbed to the Suns' top overall draft pick, DeAndre Ayton, and it hasn't translated to wins, certainly.
Yeah.
In the games that Luka Doncic has started this year for Dallas, 19-24. He's missed one game. Mavericks won that game. Beat the Clippers. Just wanted to be equitable. Has the play been equitable? The statistics are obviously favor Luka Doncic. He's a great player.
You think there's any of the, and I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to do it anyways, you think there's any great white hope involved here?
I don't know. I think it's more of a skill set, and it's more of, Luka Doncic is... had probably more time to build his legend, too.
That's true.
We talked about Zion Williamson being in the public eye and being on the radar for years, even though he wasn't playing college basketball. Luka Doncic has been on the radar for a while for people who really follow basketball because he's been playing professional basketball since he was 13.
So do you think that everyone brings that up, that he's been playing professional basketball for a long time, so of course he's going to be better right away. Do you think he's then closer to his ceiling right now? That this is about as good as he'll be? Because if not, then it doesn't matter that you think that Ayton's going to get better, because if Doncic is also going to get better.
No, I mean, I think Doncic will improve, but I think he's probably closer to being a finished product at this point.
Without
far, far closer than DeAndre Ayton is.
Well, and the bottom line is, Luka Doncic is a star right now. You wouldn't call him upper echelon NBA, but he's not that far off. DeAndre Ayton's not a star. And right now, Luka Doncic is way better at basketball than DeAndre Ayton. But that's okay, because I think that is to be expected. Their life experiences, their work experiences, Luka Doncic has got way more. He's further down the road. I just hope that DeAndre Ayton closes that gap at an appropriate time schedule. You know what I mean?
And here's also the perception, I think, league-wide, or from fans and stuff, and media, that when the Mavericks win, it feels like they win because of Luka. It doesn't really feel... I mean, the Suns don't have a lot of wins, but there isn't a lot of games that you could point to where it felt like they won that game because DeAndre Ayton won the game for them, you know?
Hard to do that when you don't get the ball in the fourth quarter.
I know.
Here we go. I've solved the problem. Suns need a point guard. DeAndre Ayton's your point guard.
Yeah.
There you go. Everybody wins. Maybe not everybody.
No.
Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps live this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Chick-fil-A off the I-10 at Florence Boulevard in Casa Grande.
You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, plus Suns, Coyotes, and Renaissance Festival tickets. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. Coming up, DeMarcus Cousins hasn't even played a game for the Golden State Warriors, and he's already making outlandish claims like he invented the question mark. No, he didn't say that, but he did make an outlandish claim. We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right. Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the front page of arizonasports.com. What side of the field is more important for the Cardinals to address this offseason? Defense? Offense.
Offense. Offense.
I don't think there's much of a debate here.
No, there shouldn't be. I don't think.
The defense was bad. The offense was historically bad.
Yeah.
91% agree and voted for offense. 9% defense. However you feel, you can always cast your vote. It's the Sanderson Ford poll question, and it's on the front page of arizonasports.com.
Don't really pay us attention to storylines. I mean, they're going to say what they have to say. They're going to have their opinions. We're the most hated team in sports. So
you think you're the most hated team in sports? I would say that there are a lot of people in this country who love to hate the Yankees or the Cowboys.
Well, put us up there. I would say the Warriors are for sure. You know, they hate Kevin. They hate me. I think the only guy they really like is Steph. They may hate him as well. They hate Draymond. But, I mean, it is what it is. So, I can't worry about that.
The bottom line.
What is that? Is that in the song?
Yeah, is that?
DeMarcus Cousins talking with Rachel Nichols on ESPN.
It is. I guess it's in the song, right?
It's really annoying.
Yeah, why would they include song, that?
DeMarcus Cousins saying, I don't really pay attention to storylines, but here I'm going to create one. We're the most hated team in sports. And I think Rachel Nichols had the appropriate reaction to that, like, wait a minute.
This is absurd. Yeah, that's kind of my reaction.
Yeah, and I think in terms of dynasties, if you want to call them a dynasty, it's hard not to with the level of dominance Golden State has achieved over the last 4 or 5 years. They're probably among the most well-liked. The New England Patriots, are they a dynasty? They're playing their eighth consecutive AFC championship.
Yes, they're a
game.
Dynasty.
They're way more hated than the Golden State Warriors.
I agree. They make my top five.
The New York Yankees are way, and they're not even a dynasty.
Well, you know what? I think the Red Sox might have even passed the Yankees in terms of being unlike or hated, if you will.
Maybe.
And I think it's the New England sports fan.
I was trying to
think. How about the Cowboys? You think they're still?
Definitely. They're my top five.
I mean, the Cowboys haven't won anything in forever, and they're still hated. Back when they were winning a lot in the early 90s, they were loathed outside of Dallas. That was a very easily hateable team. And I'll say this. There are a lot of people that hate DeMarcus Cousins, I guess. Draymond Green is the ringleader. Kevin Durant, he's an interesting case when you're talking about the hate level of the Golden State Warriors. I think more people hate what he did than hate him. I've described him as petty.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's thin-skinned, all of that. He's a great
fake
basketball
tough guy.
Player.
Yeah.
Fake tough guy. I know you've used that label on
Charles
him
Barkley
as well.
Well, Charles Barkley has, and I agree with him.
Yeah, but I think they hate what he did, the decision he made, more than they hate him or his spot on that team.
Okay.
It's still a fun. And at the heart of it, too, what makes Golden State, even if you are not a fan, what makes them hard to hate is they're really fun to watch.
I would suggest this. Yes, I agree with that. I would say that the Golden State Warriors, even if they had five Steph Currys, they would go from being beloved to being hated, because that's the nature of what being a dynasty is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nature of what being American is. You love the underdog, you love the rise to the top, but then you don't want them there anymore.
I have a perfect example for my own sports fandom.
I want to hear it.
I've always been a Suns fan, but you know, late 80s, I took a liking to the Detroit Pistons, and then they got over the hump.
And then you hated them.
And then I couldn't stand them.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. That it's very, very American to do that.
But luckily, Phoenix sports fans never have to worry about that.
Right.
They eternally root for the underdogs that never get over the hump.
Phoenix sports fans, globally, or Phoenix sports teams, they're almost beloved. Nobody thinks bad about them.
Well, look at the way some people in Major League Baseball turned on the Diamondbacks after they won that World Series.
True.
With the money they spent to do it, checkbook championship, it becomes very easy to cheer for an underdog until they're successful. And then you start to, okay, enough of that. I want to see them lose.
So I was trying to come up to and start thinking, going through your files mentally,
mm-hmm.
of the teams that could be described as dynasties that were, the most loved.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on this yesterday. I got a text from John Bloom who said maybe the San Francisco 49ers teams.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one. But I'm going to go further back. What my pick would be for the most beloved, outside of their own city, their most beloved dynasty in sports history, the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s.
I'm the same way.
You're a Cowboys fan.
They were a phenomenon.
Yes, they were. And I think I share Vinny's feeling about this because I grew up and I had nothing to cheer for. I gravitated to the Steelers. And I think it's just that blue-collar, working man vibe of Pittsburgh that even when they had a dynastic football team, and I hate that word. The
dynastic?
Dynastic.
Well, it's properly used.
It's properly used. I just don't like the word. It sounds too much like elastic.
Elastic is a wonderful tool.
Yeah, if you're Stretch Armstrong.
Imagine trying to keep your underwear on without elastic.
Good point.
Good luck with that.
Good point.
I have some of those old boxers. They're blousy, let me just put it that way.
Blousy, yeah. I think the Steelers transcended that just because Steel City,
Yeah, but the NFL was different back then,
lunch
though, also.
Pail guys.
The NFL was different back then. It wasn't as huge a sport that people had as much opinions about the dynasty teams, don't you think?
True. Yeah. And if you consider the label America's team that Dallas kind of bestowed upon themselves and spoke it into being, at that time, Pittsburgh was way more America's team than Dallas. They had so much star power. Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, but
L.C. Greenwood,
Michael Harris,
Ernie Holmes, Rocky Blyer.
This is always how it's been, though.
Mike
Pittsburgh
Webster.
Was the blue collar team, and Dallas is like the white collar team.
Yes.
So Pittsburgh is how America really is, and Dallas is how they view themselves.
Okay.
I also look at the Golden State example because we are on the verge of seeing DeMarcus Cousins play for this team for the first time. And we have different viewpoints on how this is going to go. It might have been tongue-in-cheek when you suggested a 37-game win streak for the Golden State Warriors mm-hmm. with DeMarcus Cousins. I think the level of boredom will set in, and you're also going to get those normal acclimation growing pains. And when we talked to Kevin Arnovitz, too, he kind of hit it, at least the way I see it, he kind of hit it on the head. He said, I don't expect too much from him.
Yeah.
I think DeMarcus Cousins will be asked to do different things than he's been asked to do, whether it was in Sacramento or New Orleans. He's not the focal point. He's very much a complementary role-playing piece. That might suit him well. It might completely turn him off. I don't know. But I think they're going to lose some games. They'll stumble. I'm still not swaying at all from my belief that the Golden State Warriors are still the NBA champs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, and I think that's what we're going to find out starting on Friday, because we have seen reminders from the Golden State Warriors of just how peerless they can be in the NBA. Let's see what they look like with DeMarcus Cousins. It can't hurt. I don't see any way possible a 25-10 guy can hurt that basketball
Except
team.
They are not used to playing with a center that gives you anything, so
Well, that's true.
When you pass the ball into a center and all of a sudden he starts looking to score, that's different than anything they've ever had before. I put a poll, which team is currently the most hated in sports? Patriots, Yankees, Cowboys, Warriors, almost 100 votes. Who do you think's winning?
Patriots.
Yeah. 38%, Cowboys 28%, Warriors 19%, Yankees last place. You think that's just the season or they haven't been as good lately or what?
There's a lot of people from New York here. And Gambo stuffed the ballot box.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right, right. No, I'm with that because the Patriots are at the top of my list, and it's not I'm not a Tom Brady fan. I like Bill Belichick. I don't dislike him the way I dislike Nick Saban. I'm just tired of them. And I'm already starting to recoil at another Super Bowl with the Patriots in it.
And
I shouldn't be that way.
And a lot of people feel that way. But there's a difference between fatigue and hatred.
There is.
Yeah.
That is true. And the Patriots always do deliver seemingly entertaining Super Bowls.
That's the truth.
They're fun to root against.
Yeah.
To me, that's part of the fun. If you have some, if you don't care about either team, it's a neutral game, you hope it's going to be an exciting game, and that's
it. The Patriots' dominance and Alabama's dominance actually makes it more palatable for
that fans. National championship game was a blowout, and it was super fun to watch. I thought so.
I won't go that far. The first half was fun to watch.
I loved it.
The second half was nearly unwatchable.
I'm with Jared. I just loved it because I just love watching Alabama get clocked.
Finally get their come up.
When does the American public turn on Clemson now?
That's coming. That is coming, yeah.
Join Burns and Gambo starting at 2 p.m. as they broadcast live from the 48th Annual Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction at Westworld of Scottsdale. You can check out more than 1,700 rare and exotic cars up for auction, eat and drink from the 40-plus vendors on site, and much, much more. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details and info on tickets. Coming up, NBA fans will have the opportunity to interact with referees during games on social media. What could possibly go wrong? We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All right, every now and again, you know this, I pay homage to my lovely, beautiful 17-year-old daughter, Skylar. Because she has great.
That's not when you called her off the air. See what I did there? Ooh,
yeah. 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 And if she's listening right now, honey, he's kidding.
And get back to class.
Does she listen
to
the show?
And get back to class.
No. Does she listen to the show?
No, she's in school. Jarrett. But I think they've got half days this week, so chances are she might be.
And we have podcasts. You could download ArizonaSports.com and Arizona Sports app.
A lot of people do. I'm good quite plug, certain Garrett. My 17-year-old does not.
Well done.
This is Ocean Blue by Cut Copy. This is one of my daughter's newer jams.
That's really my. I have a kid who listens to every second of every show.
Do you really?
Brandon's got an office job now, so he can wear headphones.
That's outstanding.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Brandon.
Love the
Hi,
support.
Brandon.
Get back to work. So this is one of her favorites, one of her jams?
One of her new ones, yes.
She's kind of like the unofficial music director.
The default music director.
I was going to lead with the NBA ref story. We'll get to that. Today got way better. You talk a lot about on your show your love affair that you have with MyPillow.
I do.
I want to talk about my love affair with my Oreos. Cheese Doodle Dad sent us this. Hey, Vince Murata, my friend in Ohio just sent me this photo. The long rumored has become true. The Oreo most stuff are out, and they're on shelves. And you're lucky I'm here and not on my way to the grocery store. I know, I eat better than I used to. I will never give up my soft spot for Oreos.
I felt the same way when I heard
about... Mega stuff are great. I can't wait.
I felt the same way when I heard about caramel M&Ms. I thought... That just can't be true. That's just too good to be true. And they're true. I saw your reaction when you got a heads up on that.
I started drooling uncontrollably.
You did. Salivating.
At what point does it become too much stuff?
I agree. Too much. It's like getting a pastrami sandwich in New York City. It's too much.
I will go as far to say that these should be the standard... And the standard Oreos should actually go away.
Like the New Kids on the Block once said, oh, Oreo, what's in the middle? The white stuff.
The white stuff. Really?
Oh, all right. NBA referees will answer questions about calls in real time over Twitter in a selection of games for the rest of the season, starting with two games next week. The Golden State Lakers game on TNT and Wednesday's San Antonio Philadelphia game. Fans can tweet at official NBA refs or use the hashtag RefWatchParty to get responses from officials who are watching the game. This could get interesting.
Yeah, it could.
I think as a group, I wouldn't sit here and say I know any of the officials very well,
They seem like a very affable bunch of men and women that work NBA games.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're especially good at their jobs, and I think that's the consensus. I'm kind of curious to see what goes down. It might just turn into an absolute dumpster fire of an idea. Agreed?
Yes. Yeah, and they're going to deal with a lot of vitriol. They're going to deal with a lot of sarcasm.
Yes, they are.
And probably deservedly so. NBA games, they're so hard to officiate. They really are.
They I are. Mean, especially when you anticipate fouls being made and they're not made. Outside of the Oreo story that I just shared, this was my favorite story of the day. Recently, it has become known that on an old Mark Jackson basketball card from 1990, it's taken at Madison Square Garden, and you can see the front row of the crowd. In the background, sitting in the front row at this Knicks game, the Menendez brothers, the infamous Lyle and Eric Menendez, who famously killed their parents. You can also pinpoint the timing of the release of this card was the period in between the Menendez brothers slaughtering their parents and them getting
spending all their money
and then getting arrested.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
I think I might have this card. It's not selling for big bucks, but it's selling on eBay.
It's like the first time I went through my football cards and I was looking for O.J. Simpson football cards and I found an Al Cowlings.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, didn't expect to find that.
That one's going in the plastic. I want to get to this, too, because, Jarrett, we had our Andy Reid discussion.
This one's going in the bicycle spoke. So I do with all my valuable baseball cards. That's why I'm here right now.
You had your rate the Andy Reid stories from that article that came out. So Jarrett put on Twitter, what's the best fake Andy Reid story that could be true? We got a lot of great responses. Brian said his mustache is responsible for 73.4% of all of his play calls. Blake, he wrote, Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote their famous line, Goo Goo Gajoob and I Am the Walrus, after hearing the sound a man made in a Philly bar devouring a cheesesteak. That man was Andy Reid. Here's one from Outset. He once won a pie-eating contest and a hot dog-eating contest at the same time. Skyler, James Harrison benches Andy Reid for a workout.
That's funny.
Ramon, I was talking with Andy one day, and he said he was so hungry he could eat a horse. So he did. This one from CA. He doesn't have cankles. He has nankles from the neck to the ankles. here's my favorite one. Oh, where is it?
A lot of people said he had a side hustle selling diabetes medication as Wilford Brimley.
From Anthony, I once saw Andy Reid come into DeFalco's Deli and take an Il Purista sandwich off Vince Murata's plate and eat the entire thing in only two bites. Needless to say, Vince was none too pleased, and Andy Reid now walks with a severe limp. True story.
Wow, that's good.
Here we go. Here's another one. Andy Reid cleared the Daytona 500 snack bar of all of its corn dogs, clogged up two toilets, and finished third in the race with his 1991 Toyota Tercel while playing a cassette of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti that was stuck in the deck. Dale Earnhardt wept. Oh, those are great.
See, we have funny listeners.
We do. We do have funny listeners. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Thanks also to Mel Kiper Jr. and Kevin Arnovitz for joining us. We are out of here. Burns and Gambo up next, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.